Thank God. Do you expect to be different when you leave?
Yes.
Do you expect to get impartations now?
Yes.
That's an exciting thing. That's not just, well, I got to go to church, I'll check this off. That's when we expect right now that my life, my understanding is going to get illuminated. I'm going to leave here with more understanding. My life will never be the same. That's awesome. The things I need for the future are getting imparted to me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a dump truck load. But you can't handle a dump truck load. You need a little bit that you can digest, and then you need more that you can digest. And your life may have been going like this, but as you are open to God's word, little by little, your trajectories change. And in fact, your trajectory can change a whole lot, but you walking it out is just little by little. You can make a decision today that changes your destiny and your children's destiny and the future generations radically. Mm-hmm. Right today, you can change. You were going this way, and you just changed, and you said, okay, I'm going this way. Now, walking it out is a process, and we change little by little. And, you know, you're going to deal with certain things, and that's not a bad confession. You're going to deal with things that you've spent years developing, or things maybe that weren't the greatest that got put into you before. We get rid of that stuff little by little. That's not a bad confession. The Bible says they occupied the land. The Israelites occupied the land little by little. Otherwise, he said, if you try to go and take it all over, it'll get overgrown. You won't be able to handle it. Mm-hmm. So we are going to change in our lives. We're going to get the light of the word, and you know what you need to do? Act on that. Right. Don't try to change 15 things at once. It'll overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. And then you just do nothing. Mm-hmm. You say, yeah, but there's all these, I just got to change it all today. Well, you're not going to be able to change it all today. God's not asking you to. What is the thing that he's asking you to change and that you have illumination on? Deal with that. Now, I'm not saying let the other areas go loose. I'm saying God is going to get you to the place you need to be one step at a time. And it's different for every person. And if we'll listen to him, he'll get us on the right path, and it will be better tomorrow than it was today, better a week from now, better a month from now, and we'll just keep growing. We'll get stronger, more secure, and things that were a problem, all of a sudden we look back, they're not a problem anymore. We don't have to. We have to give him our will. Just do what he told us to do and act on it. And what you see, that's what you're accountable for. If you don't understand, you don't see something, don't worry about the stuff you don't know. Let's act on the stuff we do know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand something, you say, I just don't understand, I don't have full understanding. Like one of my instructors used to say, shelve it. Mm-hmm. You say, well, what about that, God? I don't understand it. Well, ask him. Number one, ask him for illumination. Let's say you read something in the scriptures you're not sure about. Yeah, I just don't get this. Ask God. Say, God, show me on this. But then don't stop your development because you don't understand this thing. Mm-hmm. Don't make that mistake of, I got to figure this out before I can go further with God. No, what do you know? What are the things you know? And then shelve that. What do I mean by that? You just put it on the shelf, and you know, you just keep going on with God. You may get an answer on it right now, but you may not know. You may not get an answer on it right away. But you just shelve it. And you may come back to that. You may come back and look at that and you say, yep, just don't see it. But God, I'm believing you that I'm understanding that. And you just keep going on what you do know. So many times we focus on what we don't know. And that just brings more darkness. But what do you know? We can focus, God is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Yes. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. I have strength. I have the mind of Christ. You can talk about what you do know. And you may come back and look at that thing, and you say, well, I don't see it. But then, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you might walk by that, and you realize you've grown. And now you look at that thing and you say, wait a minute. I see that God can illuminate you, and now you see it, but you had to grow up. He could try to talk to you about it, but you wouldn't have seen it. There are things a five-year-old can ask you, and you can't explain it to them. They won't get it. You could explain it to them, but if they say, well, I just can't go any further. Until I understand this, I can't go. I can't go as a five-year-old. I can't go to kindergarten anymore or first grade. If I don't have this question that I can only understand, and they don't know when they're 25 until they actually have taken some other instruction and then they could actually understand the answer. But if they just stop and say, I just have to know it, well, you're not going to have all the answers to everything. Good night. Come on. We have to know everything before we can go on with Jesus? We're already done. You're never going to know everything. Come on. We know a sliver of what there is to be known. Well, I got to know this so I can minister to this person. No. No, you don't. No, you don't. What do you know? And you can minister on what you know. The devil will say, well, you got to know this. Well, then he can sidetrack you for doing nothing for the next 3 years because you think you have to know something that you're not supposed to know. So you can just, if you don't know, still stay in the joy of the Lord and say, Lord, what about this? Show me. And you shelve it. And you may find that you've come around and you've learned and boom, I understand that. I see that. You've grown. You see some other things in the scripture and the answer's there. And you say, well, I'm glad I didn't waste the last 10 years of my life trying to figure that out. I just, by doing what God told me to do, I just kept getting higher and higher. And then I was there. And that's the way it's supposed to work. I hope and I expect. That's what I mean by hope. I fully expect to be further 20 years from now than I am right now. Amen. If I'm not, there is a problem. But if I think, man, I can't do anything right now until I understand what I'm going to do, know 20 years from now, well, that's 20 years I can't get back. If I would have done that 20 years ago, seriously, if there are things that I just started a little bit to do, and you think, well, you're just not there. If you wait till you're an expert at everything before you start anything, you can't get anywhere. That's right. It all starts by just taking the first step. Well, yeah, but I got to be great in it. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? Sometimes we just want to take these leaps and no, it's just one step. Let's just start. And then God adds little by little. He adds. And he grows us up. Yes, he does. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we've been in a series the last few weeks we call Guard Your Heart. Let's go ahead and put Proverbs 4, verse 20 up. It's on your sheet there. Proverbs 4, 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is exactly what we were just talking about. We need to just focus on what he's told us to do, what his words are, because these words are what goes into our heart are going to determine the direction of your life. You may not have everything you're going to have years out ahead, but your direction is set. And you'll keep growing as you just keep your heart. Keep it with diligence, it says. It says, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Established. How are your ways going to be established? By doing these previous verses. You are looking to him. You're obeying him. Looking and obeying the things you know to do today. That's how you get established more completely. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, we read this in the New Living Translation. Why don't you go up and put verse 20 up in the New Living Translation. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else. This is where we got the guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Determines where you're going. Determines where you're going to end up. This is a big deal. You realize we only have one time through this thing, right? There isn't 2, 3, 4, 5 times through this life. I know some people teach that. No, you don't come back as a different being, and you certainly don't come back as a different species or anything like that. You get one shot. So we want to make it count. How are you going to make it count? By your infinite wisdom, read a bunch of books. Well, get knowledge where God would have you to get knowledge, but you don't have enough time to read. You spend your whole life reading and then figure out what to do, and then you're dead. And some people do that. Well, I'm going to figure out the perfect way. Again, like we were saying, you could spend your whole life trying to figure out the perfect way, and you're not living your life. You're not going to walk a life just perfectly. You walk life in faith. With the best you know how to do with what you have, and apply it and look to God and guard your heart, and you'll be far ahead of most people. This is what he's talking about, guarding your heart, guarding what comes in, what you think on, the teachings, the doctrines that you expose yourself to. It's very important. Verse 24, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your foot from following evil. Now, we talked about, emphasized a few things last week about the safe path, staying on the right track, not looking at other religions, not looking at things that aren't godly. And I encourage, if you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. We're going to go further in that today, but we're not going to cover everything we did last time. But we talked about this to some degree. Go ahead and let's just put it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. We read this too, these two scriptures together. Proverbs and 2 Corinthians 11 are kind of our focus. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Verse 3 says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, we touched on this, talked a little bit about this, the definition of, you know, simplicity and simple, and briefly, simplicity is just the action of being simple. And I'll read some of this that I have here on my sheet. The state of being simple, uncomplicated, uncompounded. So there's not multiple in that. You can see pureness, just straightforward. Some of the definitions: free from guile, innocent, read these over here, sheer, unmixed, free from secondary complications, fundamental. Now, these things give you the picture of something that's pure, something that's not complicated. Simplicity is the opposite of being very complex. And In this day and age, you being the word simple can have a bad connotation in some ways. being simple is sometimes associated with, you know, being not educated, not smart, backwards, all that. But in the context we're talking about, in the way the Bible is describing it here, it's sheer, it's unmixed, it's uncomplicated, it's uncompounded. And we want that type of being simple and simplicity in our lives. You don't, the Bible says to be, you want to be ignorant concerning evil. You don't want to know. And the world will tell you, you should know about all these different things. You need to experience it. Well, no, you don't. You don't need to make all these mistakes so that then you can know it's the wrong thing to do. If you take that approach, you may only get to try a few things and you'll spend the rest of your life in prison. And you'll find out and you get to think about it every day. How dumb that was for you to try the thing that everybody already told you was wrong. No, that's a trick of the enemy. Well, you should be more cultured. You should be more, you know, worldly. You need to experience. I'm like, it's you can try different things as long as they're in the realm of what Scripture tells us is right.
That's right.
But even then, you can waste a lot of time trying different things. If it's not your calling and not what you're supposed to be focusing on, you can waste a ton of time doing things that aren't necessarily sin. But you can let anything consume your time. We only have so much time. So we got to watch it. Well, I got to have all these things going. Well, do you? That's open question. Do you? You need to ask God. We need to know what He's telling us. Because you just being focused on a certain area that He's told you to do, that's going to be the most effective way for you to go forward. You don't have to deal then with all these other concerns and all this quote-unquote complexity that's in the world. I mean, it's really complexity, but not even in quotes. But what people, they, in this world, try, it's not that they're saying complicated, but sophisticated, which a lot of times carries this notion of you knowing about a lot of different things and experiencing a lot of different things and being informed of a lot of different things. But in that can be deception and can be you getting off track. Now, right here, it says in verse 3, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. What does it mean when something is corrupted? It's messed up. Like when you talk about if your computer files are corrupted, that means parts of them are not the way they're supposed to be anymore. They're spotty. So like, you know, if you have a certain file for a certain program and it's corrupted, that means the program may not be able to read it correctly anymore because parts of the information are in the wrong place. They're actually destroyed. Now you have a hard time operating with it. Well, what does this mean? Your minds can be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. That means in Christ, you can be simple, strong, established, but Satan tries to get you out of that state. Corrupted. That means what? Your life isn't going to operate quite the way it should because you have this stuff in your life that are not, they're not helpful things, they're harmful. They distract you from God. They distract you from doing what you're supposed to do. Satan likes to make things complicated. This life really is not that complicated. The more I go, the more I see. I mean, you look around, just strip away all the technology, all the fluff, all the hype, all the marketing, and what do you have? You have people that live their lives, you know, start out as children, come up. Likely for most people, they're going to get married. They're doing some kind of vocation or profession. Why? Ultimately, You need to eat. You need to survive. Yes, you're, but at the bottom line, well, no, I'm really going to do such and such, and I'm really into this vocation. Well, why? And what are you doing? You take any vocation, any kind of thing, it involves, for the most part, in some way, you're going to deal with other people. Well, I'm really good at marketing. Marketing to who? People. I'm going to read books, or I'm going to write books. For who? On people. Well, I'm going to go into medicine to do what? You're going to deal with other people. I mean, in some way, it comes back to you having an income and you dealing with other people. And at the same time, you probably, for the majority of people, they're going to be married. Then what? They're going to have little people that are going to start the whole process over. And they're going to be really involved with these little people. And that's, well, now they have kids. They have children. Well, what does that mean? All they have is little people running around. And now they're into parenting and dealing with all the stuff that deals with that. Until those little people, then they grow up. And then they find somebody else to get married to. And then what happens? They have little people. But now you're too removed from that because now they're your grandkids. So now you have that to be involved in. And then you go and pass on, and the rest of the people on the earth just keep going. It's a circle, right? And all this other stuff that's going on, and I'm interested in this, and the mortgage, and the job, and the boss, is all fluff on the side. And we're just going through the motions. Well, I know I got this school thing to go to, or I got this job thing, or do you see what the government... What is all that? Again, it's all people, 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 just other people interacting with other people, having ideas about what other people should do, what you should eat, what you should think. What are TV shows? They're just people putting their ideas in another medium to show you what they think, to maybe entertain you, but also to communicate their view of the world. So you got to be careful about that. Books, classics, quote unquote, whatever, they were written by people with certain ideas that may or may not be godly, and you read it, and if you're naive and you're growing up and thinking, well, this is right, this is this, the school gave me this to read. I'm knocking schools, but there's a lot of junk they give kids to read that are quote unquote classics that are just messed up people. They're accounts of people that are totally in sin and perverseness and weirdness, and they're considered classic. I can name some of the stuff. Been around for hundreds of years, and I can name certain people. You go like, yeah, that guy was messed up. Thinking of somebody right now, and I'm not going to mention, but just stupidity. And it's given to you to read as, let's read this and let's know about it. I've been through this, you know, with my children. It's like in a lot of it's dark. Well, we got to know about what real people go through. You're going to find out about that anyway. Well, you don't want to be, you know, naive. You got to know, you got to read these things so you know all the real human suffering and pain. We're going to run into enough of that anyway. Why don't we focus on the things that are godly and good so we can deal with some of that? Amen. You start pumping that junk into kids early, they expect that's the way their life's going to go. But if you just say... Now tell me, am I wrong? If you say, no, we don't want to know any of that, so we don't want to focus and read that type of stuff, just tell, what's the connotation? Oh, you're naive, you're closed-minded, you're simple, you don't know, you're unrealistic, you're sheltering. But what does it say here? I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve. Let me tell you, Adam and Eve in the garden. Almighty God plants them in a place that is perfect. Talk about their climate. I mean, they're walking around. You know, they don't have to have a snow coat or anything. I mean, you know, snowshoes. It's perfect. And all their food's provided for them. Talk about shelter. And what does Satan come and talk to him about? Do you really think God told you the truth? Don't you want to know a little bit more? Huh? He lied to him. Well, God didn't really tell you the whole truth. You really want to know the whole truth? God's keeping something from you. That's what he does. This is saying, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. Is corrupted good or bad in this context? And you know what Satan tries to tell you? You're missing something when actually you're walking the way you ought to be.
Amen.
You're being guarded from this junk that men have thought up over all these centuries. I don't care what the world calls it, classic, non-classic. If it disagrees with the Word of God, it's junk.
Amen.
They were just as perverted several centuries ago as they are now. Come on, some of the stuff we have now, people say we've gotten so bad, it's not Sodom and Gomorrah yet. It's bad. But they've been bad before. These ideas are not new. They're just getting back into forefront because people are going away from God.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that are coming to God, and you just don't hear about it. They're all over the world, there is revival going around.
Amen.
There is.
Amen.
People, thousands of people coming to Jesus a day. But we have this communication in the world now that we've never had before. This consciousness, because there's so much, you know, these different forms of communication. You have things on the web, you have phones, but all this publishing of information that gives a certain view of the world when in reality, it's not the way a lot of people think. And you have to know this and this and this when, no, you don't have to know that. That's people communicating their idea of what you should know, and a lot of it is just deception and lies, intentionally or unintentionally. You realize somebody may not intentionally be feeding you junk because they think it's right, but they're deceived.
Right.
What's the difference? At the end of the day, you believe it, you're going to be corrupted.
Amen.
And a lot of people just thinking because they read it, because people are saying it, because they heard it in school, that it's fine, and it's not. And there's this idea that you should know a lot. You should be well-read in different areas. Again, not knocking on education. We need to have the education that we need to do what God told us to do. Bottom line. If God told you to be a doctor, you're going to need some education. Right? You're going to teach, you're going to do engineering, you're going to all kinds of things. You need certain education. But you don't need education in the areas you don't need it. And you don't need to expose yourself to things that are not in line with the call that God has put on your life. Because you're exposing yourself to potential deception. You're playing. Number one, we don't have time to waste. You don't have time to get degrees that you don't need. You don't have 4 years to mess around just because you want to know more. And you don't have time to mess around researching junk on the internet left and right that has nothing to do with what you're supposed to be doing. Well, I just want to see what so-and-so thinks. Yeah, you may, and you put that seed in your thought life, and now you've got to get it out. You have to deal with it. You've got to combat it. We talked about that some last week. No, this is not new. We touched on this some last week. Let's go and look at a couple of these scriptures that we talked on, Deuteronomy 12, 28. Let's go ahead and turn there. The word Deuteronomy 12, 28. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. It's on the screen too and on your sheet. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever. Just stop right there. God's a good God. Okay? He gives commands because he loves us. He does not tell us to do something because he's trying to avoid or trying to keep us from having fun.
That's right.
God is love. He loves Israel. And does. But he's not telling them something here to keep them from having fun. God's way is right. Mm-hmm. Are you all with me? God's way is right.
Yes.
How many believe that God's way is right?
Amen.
So then, when we go in and we see what he says, we need to be very careful of anything that would tell us anything else, because there are those that would propagate things that would hurt us. And behind it all, anything that is against God's ways is Satan. Men may think they're so smart and they came up with certain things on their own, but they had help. They did. And it's arrogance to think, nah, this is all this philosophy or whatever. Yeah, you had help and you don't even know it. There is one much smarter than you that has been around that's evil, and he's just playing you like an instrument. And you think it's your philosophy you're propagating. You're going to stick up for it, and you don't like God, and you think all these stupid, ignorant Christians are your problem. You are being played. And there's a lot of that. But God said, observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children. Mm-hmm. We're playing for keeps. Yeah. Look, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know we're closer than we ever have been. And things are ramped up like they never have been. But if we keep going on, your children are going to have to deal with whatever hand you gave them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not all you, but it's a lot. What we do as parents has a very big impact on them. And if we lead them in the wrong direction and lead them away from God, that's very bad. And you'll see how bad it is. We're gonna read a little bit more, but God was very explicit. You don't mess with other religions. You don't mess with stuff that's ungodly. Why? It take your whole family line off track.
Amen.
And do we not already live in that world now? How many world religions are there? And people may have been practicing it for hundreds of years, and it was wrong when their forefather started practicing it.
That's right.
Because it all came back to Adam and Eve. And then eventually Noah and his family. We're all descended from them.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says, I believe the Bible.
I do too.
And somewhere anybody that's not believing God got off. Decided somewhere in there, time passed and decided to go, they made up gods. And again, they had help. And the Bible says, there's, like when it's talking about food being offered to idols, that they're demons. They're worshiping devils. These other gods aren't just nothing. They're not just neutral. They're demonic.
Yep.
I know that's not politically correct either, but it's the truth. People don't want it. Demon? Well, you're weird. You believe in the supernatural? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And you not believing is exactly where the enemy would want you.
That's right.
Because he can mess with you left and right because he doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole lot of this. We're too sophisticated to believe in this. And this would solve so many problems, just believe in the word.
Amen.
He says, now observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Go ahead, next verse. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and displace them, and you dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. Notice that, ensnared. What is that? It's a trap. Getting you. Well, traps are not generally just meant for you to see them, and you know what's going to happen, and you fall in it anyway. There's usually some subtlety there. But if you read the word, you will see the traps of the enemy are exposed. He tells you very clearly, like right here, don't be ensnared, this is a trap. If you read Proverbs, you'll see certain things talked about over and over. And if you do this, you're going to feel pain for the rest of your life. Don't do it. Red flashing lights. Don't do it. The next chapter. Don't do it. Like adultery. Over and over. And it says, strong men have fallen. Don't mess with it. Yes, what do you see in our society? It's glorified. You don't have to be smart particularly to read the Bible and realize this is going to mess me up if I mess with it. If you're just honest and just take it at face value, you're going to say, I don't want any of that. I don't care how good it looks. I don't want any of that. God said, I'm going to pay for that the rest of my life. And people are. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. In other words, I want to know what they do. He said, don't do it. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates. Notice that. I've heard this. I've heard this, and I'm sure you have too. Hate. Ooh, that's a strong word. We don't hate. God said he hates. Again, that's politically correct nonsense. We don't hate people, but God hates things. Amen. And you should too. You should hate sin. You should hate anything that would hurt your family. If you say you love your spouse, you hate the things that would try to come against them. Or your family. Now, we have a lot of just men's ideas floating around. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. So deceived, they are killing their children, and they think they're right. And God hates that. You know he hates abortion. Hates killing innocent blood. We can go back and look at it. Talks about shedding the blood of the innocent. Hates it. It is not a light thing. Verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Now read this quickly in the New Living Translation. We'll go on. We spent some time looking at these last week. Deuteronomy 12:29, the New Living Translation. You go to the next verse. It says, when the Lord your God goes ahead of you and destroys the nations you drive them out and live in their land, do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. You must not worship the Lord your God the way the other nations worship their gods, for they perform for their gods every detestable act that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Timothy. I think we're not going to go to Joshua just at this time. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6, verse 20. Everybody there? Yep. It says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. There's a lot of junk floating around that's masquerading as knowledge when it's really just idle ideas. People just talking and calling it, just like this is, that it's falsely called knowledge. And at the same time, people are denying there's a God and then believing that they're educated. Educated with what? Because if you don't believe there's a God and you're a created being and he is the one that created you and you don't, the whole reason you exist is to be fellowship for him and to worship him, and you don't believe he exists, so you're missing the reason that you're created, but you have a degree in this thing over here, You've missed it. And we're going to spend all our time over here, but then not spend any time and not spend any focus on the Almighty. That's being deceived. Well, I'm not going to be just backwards like those people. I have an expanded mind. So, person A believes there's a God, does their best to follow after God, believes, has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you know, does whatever occupation, lives a moral life, points their family to God, brings their family to church, closes out junk of the world, you know, from their life, keeps their kids away from things that would corrupt them. And in person B, says there is no God, or professes to follow some other thing other than the true God, yet considers themselves educated, spends all their time talking about certain ideas, ridicules person A because person A doesn't have certain knowledge or doesn't is closed-minded, but adheres to philosophies that reject the idea of a God, believe it's past, believe more educated, past the notion that, you know, those ideas are just, you know, rudimentary men's ideas when they didn't know any better in ignorance, but rejects their creator when the whole reason they exist is to know a creator. Now, there are all kinds of things, you know, around each of those. It's not like there's one, you know, just those are the only two areas. People are all different. They can be anywhere on that spectrum. But in our society, it is pushed that the more you know about all the different things there is to know, the better off you are. And that's simply not true. And it's associated that if you don't know about certain things, that you're somehow, basically, you're closed, you're backwards, you're, like we use the word, simple, that you're less of a person somehow. The connotation is you're not what you should be because what you should be is open and into everything and sophisticated. Do we know what this connotation is in the world? If you were to put two people, it is mocked. What we talked about last week, mocked certain things of people that, you know, take care of their family and keep stuff away from their. I mean, I've heard it as a parent. Well, because we would not. We keep books and certain things away from our kids like we're trying to overshelter them. No, I understand. They have to understand what's in the world. But I won't expose myself to some of this junk, and you want my kid to? The stuff you're trying to shove down their throat, it is godless. You would call me simple. I mean, if you think that, if somebody would think some of these other things are simple, because I won't watch the things you want to show them in the classroom. But there is this, well, don't you know that's the real world? I understand there's pain in the world. Why do we have to just bring it out in the open and study it? Why do we have to look at it and let it into our lives so that then the enemy has a road? Especially kids. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now we need to know that we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and what is trying to get us off it, and be guarded against those things. And not just entertain discussions and let things into our mind and into our lives just to show that we're open-minded. Because we are opening the door to get deceived, like it says right here. Some of this junk people have called knowledge and people engage in, it's just when you engage in it, you open your mind to be deceived. And we need to tread lightly, because this is not a game. It's not a game with our kids either. They need to know the truth. Here's the thing. Our kids need to know the truth, and they need to know how to combat the falseness that's in the world. Just sheltering them in the sense of not telling them there's anything else out there, that leaves them to where they can get blindsided by the tactics of the enemy. But not exposing them to certain things while telling them certain things are there and inoculating them against it and telling them these things exist, they will try to tell you this, but here's the truth. That's a totally different thing.
Amen.
It doesn't prove that you're open-minded to start watching this. I mean, there was this show, I won't even mention it, that we got it. I'm not, don't take this to say I'm a, you know, I fully support, I shouldn't say fully support, but we support the school system and everything, but I'm telling you the state of the schools everywhere. I'm not getting hard on what we have excellent schools here, but I'm saying in general, the ideas that are in humanity in general are not the same. They don't line up with the Bible, and so things in our society are being pushed just by people in general. And so the ideas are, and it's trying to solve these problems that we face with the mind, and they cut God out of it, and it won't work. We have kids committing suicide, they're on drugs, and they're putting their heads together trying to say, well, how can we do this? How can we get around this? You need Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other answer.
That's right.
You know, people talk about race relations and stuff. You realize we have 12 nations represented in this church the size we are?
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm not saying that to build us up, but we laugh and say, well, you know what? If you have the love of God, you can get along.
Amen.
And we were getting some emails about this show that was about suicide, kids' suicide, and they were given warnings, but there were people that were watching this and telling you should watch it so you understand what the kids are facing. They're facing a bunch of junk, I realize that, but watching it and exposing it, and especially exposing your kid to it, is just opening the door. You need to know it's there, but you don't just open the door and say, hey, have a pathway into my child to get while their mind's developing. That's wicked. No, we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of the way Satan works. And he's a deceiver and a liar. And he tries to intimidate.
Yes, he does.
And we should not be deceived into thinking what we have. Do you realize the world is looking for what the Christian has if we'll act on it?
That's right.
Christian marriages. Do you realize it's what the world's looking at, looking for to have a godly relationship and people actually trusting each other and loving each other? And they try to sell it like, we need what Hollywood has. Give me a break. They can't stay together for anything. People get divorced left and right. They have spouses that the world would consider are the most perfect, beautiful, handsome people, and they can't get along. They go after somebody else. It's amazing. They're married to somebody that the world would consider is one of the most attractive people, and that person will go and cheat on that one to go with somebody else. It's just lust run rampant, and they're trying to tell you, but you don't know what, you're not sophisticated because you won't watch this junk. Right. Come on. getting too close to where we are? It's a lie.
That's right.
Most, if you would just walk in what God has told us, He told you to look at, to have one spouse and not to mess with other things and not to mess, let this other junk come into your life and not to let these other gods come into our lives. And you know, you have a family. Oh, well, you're just trying to guard them too much. They, and the family that has two parents and, you know, eats together and guards their time, it's like it's, well, nobody can do that. That's a lie.
That is a lie.
But it's set up like, well, we know that doesn't work anymore. That's just, we have to show that, you know, I understand there are all kinds of families and where we're at, but don't hold it up is that, that we have to go that direction. If we'll look at what the Word says and just, yeah, we've all made mistakes in different areas, but that doesn't mean that we have to propagate it like that's the way that we have to go. We can say, yeah, made a mistake, but God's way is this way, and tell our children it doesn't have to be like this. You can change it. Give them hope, not like, well, this is the way it is. I mean, here, go read this classic book. It'll show you this is the way it's supposed to be. No, it's not. Well, let's show what real life is. What is real life? Real life is supposed to be knowing our God and walking according to what He told us.
Amen.
And guarding it. Well, you're just naive and simple. Yeah, and I'm going to walk the life God has told us to walk.
Amen.
And then, well, these people, you know, and I'm not holding us up or the people in this congregation as we're perfect, but we're holding the truth up.
That's right.
No, none of us are perfect, but just because we're not perfect doesn't mean we dumb down the truth and start saying, well, nobody can attain to that. If we don't hold up the standard, then nobody is going to at even try to follow truth.
Amen.
What are we holding up then? We're going to start holding up the, well, nobody can do that. This, you're just destined. Is that what we want for our children? You're just destined to have a broken relationship. Nobody can hold it together. You have to look at all this stuff because after all, nobody can keep, that's just the way the world is. Oh, what? You're not going to watch the TV shows? What, are you just kind of backwards? There's nothing worth watching. You're trying to shove an agenda down my throat most of the time. No. God is a good God. He wants the best for us. He is not trying to withhold from us. Well, you just, you know, that all this stuff is really, you know, the way life not should be, but that you're that these things that they're portraying, that these different venues are portraying are the way you'd really want it. No, you don't. You don't want a broken home. No, you don't. You don't want to be strung out in drugs all the time. No, you don't. You don't want to be an alcoholic. No, you don't want to go sleep with somebody else's wife and destroy your house. No, you don't want to do that. That's all pain. God is not keeping from us. He is protecting us. But we have to know the world is full of people that have prescribed to godless ideas, what, like I said, whether they know it or not. They've been passed down, and they're being pushed, and we have to realize that, and we have to guard ourselves from it. Because there is no neutral party. There is no demilitarized zone.
Amen.
On the earth. You are, whether people know it or not, they are either living for God or you're not. And if you think you're neutral and you're skating, you're actually in one way, shape, or form giving place to the enemy. You're a conduit for the enemy. And so these things that, well, this is just, you know, this is, you know, common knowledge. Common to who? Because actually common knowledge should be there is a God, there is one God. There is our Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the universe, and that is totally debatable within quote-unquote common knowledge. That's just one of many beliefs. Well, you're closed-minded for believing that. See, if we can't, we're already off to a bad start there. If the fundamental belief, our faith, the fundamental, what we walk, what we base our whole life on, is already despised, already contradicted, why would you take any of the other junk that follows as if those ideas are on some solid foundation? The foundation is gone. Let's turn over to one more scripture. We'll close. Go over to Romans 1, 18. Praise God. God is so faithful.
Amen.
We have it. If you being a Christian, you knowing God, have it received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We have more than most of us realize just right there.
Yes.
That's life. You having a spouse that loves you, a family that loves you, whether you're married or not, if you have people, even you having the church family that loves you, that believes God, that is so precious. And we should not take it for granted. And people start, it's such a tactic of the devil to take your eyes off what you have and start looking at what you don't have. And start saying, that's what you need to be truly happy. And this is how people get off. They get deceived and they start looking for something else. When if we would look at what the Word tells us, live what the Word tells us. If you're in a family relationship, be thankful for the people you have. If they believe God, quit comparing them to everybody else. Because you're being deceived. Thank God for the people in your life that if they love God, you are so far ahead of the majority of people. If they love God, you are already so far ahead. If your spouse, I mean, that compared to a spouse that rejects God is very hard. And if we're in that situation, we got to believe for and be thankful for what we have. And don't despise them and don't knock them down for where they're at. We need to be thankful and go from there and concentrate on the things we know and not be deceived into trying to pull things we don't know because we're opening the areas. We open these areas up to the enemy. Now look at Romans 1, 18 and we'll close. Talk long enough on this. We'll see where we pick up next time. But just read over this. It says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Suppress the truth. Do you realize people are suppressing the truth?
Oh,
no, they're just looking out for the common good. No. No, there are people, like I said, intentionally or unintentionally, because there is a God of this world and he does manipulate men. And whether people know it, the doctrines of this world, the teaching, the knowledge, that this commonality is pushing against godliness and it's suppressing truth. Verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And that is what we have to be careful of. Satan tries to corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. People trying to be quote unquote wise and worldly and just relate to other people open the door to being a fool. Because we're too educated now to believe there's a God. We understand. You realize how many people have gone down that road? They had a faith in God. They had the knowledge of God. And they were talked out of it. We have to be careful what we listen to and who we talk with. Now, again, we're not saying we close ourselves off from the world, because the Bible clearly teaches not to do that. This is what I am saying. We need to know what we're called to do and operate within that call and expose ourselves to what we need to expose ourselves to get that call done. But there will be a grace and a strength to do that.
Amen.
There's an anointing to do that. You do not play with junk because you're looking. If you are a child of God, then you are settled that God is your Savior, Jesus is your Lord, and you only do what He tells you to do. And then if you need to reach somebody and do it. See, that's a lot. People get a lot of people off. Satan gets a lot of people off because they think they have to look into something because they're going to witness to somebody. And the truth is, you're never going to move them one iota. It's a trap to get you off. You will not move them. It's a lie. But if you will stay in your calling, you can go. You can be right next to stuff that would kill a lot of people, but you'll be able to stand if you're in your calling. I'll give you an example. There's a pastor in the Philippines that we went over, and when I was at Rhema, we went to a missions trip in 2005, and this man had gone there when he was 26, right out of Rhema, tall, this guy's over 6 foot, you know, I saw he had white hair, but he was a hippie, his wife was a hippie, and they went over there, mid-20s, and When I met them, I mean, I don't know really personally, but when we went over there, they had been there, I think he was 51 or something, had been there basically half his life, and that's been 13 years ago. But they had gone there to the Filipino people, and they had, I mean, they're really tall. You know, Filipinos aren't very tall, so they stick out. I mean, his wife's like taller than I am, and he's tall. And so, but they had just loved these people, and I heard one of the guys say that we worked with that was Filipino. He said they are Filipino at heart. They have just been so ingrained there. But so they had, I mean, they started many churches when we were over there. We were planting and helped them plant a church, get it going. They already had stuff going, and we were there for the kickoff. They had rallies and everything. But we went one day. So we went to this island where we were. Where they were starting this church. But when we went back to the mainland, we spent a day in a place called Tondo. And it's the slums in Manila. And it's really, really bad. I mean, you go there, there's just trash floating everywhere. You see what people are living in. And they held Sunday school. It wasn't, I don't know, Sunday, but children's school in the middle of these slums, these high-rise slums. They'd go in there, roll out all this stuff for the kids to sit on, and they had a truck with a sound system, and in just a space of, you know, like a basketball court somewhere around there where they would play, I don't know how big the actual space was, they would fit 800 kids just right there. The kids would just come, and they would sit them, and they would minister the gospel to them, and that light would come in, this darkness on all fronts. They would come in and administer to them. But going into that area, we were going into that area, we had an armed guard. And he said this to us. He said, "That's for you." He goes, there's another guy that he would go, and I forget this guy's name, but he was known all over. And I don't know if you know the gentleman that we were there with, but he and this other guy would go down there by themselves, unarmed, in the middle of this. I mean, there's all kinds of junk, and they would walk around. He said, I can do that. He goes, the armed guard is for you. Mm-hmm. He goes, you're here on a missions trip, but I don't know you. I don't know how you got here. I don't know if you're supposed to be here. He goes, I'm called here. Mm-hmm. He goes, so I can walk around this. He goes, I'm not afraid because it is my call. And he would walk around. These people, I mean, they have guns, they have everything, but he was not the least bit scared. He'd been there for a quarter of a century. But it was his call. There's a grace and anointing. He wasn't being arrogant. He just knew who he was. And he knew what he was called to do. And he knew Satan can't touch him. He's supposed to be there. So he can walk right next to people that would scare a lot of people. I mean, these people are dark in that area. I mean, there's death there. He's not scared because he knows who he is. But he was called there. Now, if he tried that and goes to a different country he's not called, he's not in the same safety net. And there are a lot of people that are messing around with a lot of stuff in this day and age and looking at all this junk and letting all this quote-unquote knowledge into their minds, and it is evil, and they're not equipped for it, they're not called for it, and they get messed up. And we need to know what we're called to do. And if we're called to do something, we ought to shut everything else out. And we run our race and say, God, if this is what's simple, I'm simple according to God. And I'm going to reject this other stuff and don't mess with it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because you don't want to end up like this. I'm not saying this to be fearful. Satan is a deceiver. Well, you want to be smart, don't you? You want to be in the know, don't you? That's a hook. And it comes down to pride. Who cares what people say about you? You care about what God says about you or what somebody else? It's something to work on our pride to get us to bite.